Hello, and welcome to Tech Latest by Nikkei Asia, where we bring you the freshest updates from the technology sector in Asia. Every episode, some of our reporters will be filling us in on the tech news on their radar, from semiconductors in China, to space travel in Japan, to startups in Indonesia. From Nikkei Asia's Tokyo headquarters, I'm Alice French. In this episode, I'm catching up with our correspondents in London and Paris, Rhiannon Bartlett-Imadegawa, and Maëlys Penn-Lassus, to find out how Europe's car makers are responding to China's dominance in the electric vehicle sector. Hi both, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi Alice, thank you for having us.
Hi, thanks for having us.
So this week has been a key moment to really zone in on the business links between Europe and China, as Chinese President Xi Jinping made his trip to the continent. Now, Maëlys, he met with French President Macron on Monday. Can you just tell us a bit about how that meeting went and what did it have to do with the car industry?
So the meeting had some optimistic outcomes, I think. As President Macron said in Vienna, they had disagreements and agreements. And I think that's a good conclusion, because in reality, the relations are still really, really tense between France and China. At a first glance, it seems like France and China are very friendly. The state visit was very lavish, but the main discussions were about trade tensions, such as mutual investigation between EU and China on unfair competition. So the EU Commission launched a probe on Chinese subsidies to EVs. And in response, China launched a probe on liquors, which is clearly targeting France. Paris supported this EU investigation. That's why China singled out France in this investigation in response. And actually, that's true that even if like France sometimes look too friendly to China, to especially like foreign commentators, in reality, France is really in favor of the de-risking agenda of the EU and is really in favor of bringing back industries. But at the same time, President Macron said that he welcomed Chinese investment. He said it really warmly, and a lot of contracts and agreements were signed during this visit, and a lot of them being about EVs and batteries. The business delegation with President Xi Jinping was full of EV companies like SAIC or other, which are investing in Europe. And actually, in the past weeks, we've seen announces of investment in EV and batteries all across Europe from European companies, but also from Chinese companies. And for example, the Chinese president is now in Hungary, where BYD is investing a lot. And it's a kind of gateway to Europe for China now.
Okay, and of course, France and Europe as a whole is home to some of the world's most well-loved car brands, including Renault and BMW. But this new pressure on car makers to churn out more and more EVs presents a dilemma even for those auto heavyweights, right?
Yeah, and this pressure comes from the EU banning the sale of vehicles with internal combustion engines by 2035. The problem is that so far, European car makers have been lagging behind in producing a genuinely affordable mass market EV. They also say there are some wider issues like level of incentives for customers to buy EVs and charging infrastructure, but that depends on the country. Meanwhile, China dominates in the development and production of the mass market segment of EVs. They invested early, and in terms of technology, battery development, value chains, price, they really lead in this area. And combined, that makes Europe an important market to Chinese EV makers because, you know, demand is slowing in the Chinese domestic market, whereas more and more people need to be switching to EVs in Europe. So if we look at some statistics, 40% of EV exports from China went to Europe last year. Experts say they feel it would be difficult for the EU to make that EV transition in time without the cheaper Chinese EVs in the European market.
And yes, also to add on that, I think it's important to tell the difference between massive export of cheap Chinese EVs in the years to come and actual investment in Europe, like factories or battery factories. And this is what's happening increasingly in Europe, Chinese companies investing to have their own battery plants and EV plants. And Europe is actually really concerned about cheap EVs and unfair competitions because the Chinese cars are way cheaper. So we've seen the European Commission focusing on fair competition, but at the same time, politicians across Europe are really in favor of investment in the industry. regardless of the company's origin. So they're warmly welcoming Chinese companies, especially because every country in Europe needs EV in the years to come, and they really can't do it without Chinese, as Rhiannon said, and many of the analysts said the same thing. And so we see that European countries are competing between themselves to welcome these Chinese factories, because it's so important to onshore, to bring back industries. And we can see this contradictory agenda. What analysts tend to say is that the real existential risk for EU carmakers is actually these Chinese factories rather than cheap imports. But at the same time, big EU carmakers are so behind in battery tech that they have no choice.
Right. And as you say, from the Chinese brand's perspective, the EU market presents a huge opportunity not only for sales, but also for building out their EV supply chains. What sorts of moves have Chinese car makers been making in the continent so far? I understand, for example, that in some cases, they've actually been teaming up with local brands.
So I think there are many different strategies from the side of Chinese companies and also the responses of European brands. But for example, we've seen in the past weeks, Chinese car maker Chery announce a factory in Catalonia, Spain. They are actually going to buy a former Nissan plant and use it to build their own EV locally on site. Media reported that Chery are considering building a plant in Italy as well, and they are currently negotiating with the Italian government. And we've seen examples like this all across Europe. But it's only one strategy. There's also the joint venture strategy. So it's actually encouraged by local governments, I think. For example, in France, President Macron said that he welcomed Chinese companies, but sometimes we can understand what he means. I encourage joint ventures. I encourage Chinese companies to team up with European brands because it would be a bit better for French car makers, for example. And so last month in April, we've heard about Renault teaming up with Volvo, which is a European car maker, but it's now part of China's Geely, and they're going to build utility electric vans in France in what is supposed to be an electric manufacturing hub in Dunkirk, which is really encouraged by the French government. And they're going to use an existing historic plant of Renault to build EVs, utility EVs for many different brands. So Volvo, Renault, and others. So it's a really interesting thing to see how all these different car makers have intertwined interests and are at the same time collaborating and having their own back. So it's really interesting. On the opposite side, we see European car makers trying to put their eggs in different baskets. So Renault, for example, is teaming up with Volvo, which is Geely, but also with different Chinese car makers in different joint ventures. But we are also investing in French startups to develop batteries. So we see a lot of different strategies. And especially, I think European car makers want to take back control of their supply chain. Like, for example, having their own capacity to build batteries or have partners making their batteries. And it can go up to even sourcing critical resources. So that's the kind of different approach we see in car makers.
And just as another example to that, I think Stellantis, a major Franco-Italian car maker, last year they acquired 20% of shares in Chinese NEV company Leapmotor, and they will be setting up a JV this year where they'll majority own and have exclusive rights to export, sell, and produce the cars outside China. And they specifically said, you know, they can benefit from Leapmotor's competitiveness in China and abroad. So it's quite interesting that they're trying to, like, kind of absorb and benefit from, you know, these Chinese EV makers too. Germany is quite an interesting case as well, because their car makers tend to be in the more high market, high-end segment, and also more perhaps invested in the Chinese market. They're one of the earliest entrants, and they have a lot of market share there. And analysts say they probably don't want to rock the boat too much with Beijing, for example, if the EU were to introduce new tariffs. And we spoke to a few car parts makers, and they said they're very happy to grow with the Chinese car makers. You know, companies like Continental and ZF both said they see potential.
Right. So this sort of competition versus collaboration will be very interesting to see play out. And it's definitely clear that Chinese EVs are going to play a big role in Europe's green transition either way. But realistically, having both reported on this topic for months now, how much of a threat do you think Chinese makers will actually be to European car manufacturers? Should they be panicking yet, or can they hold their own? Maëlys, what do you think?
It's hard to tell, but it's definitely a really, really significant threat for EU car makers. And at the same time, I think it's not a lost battle. I talked to a French economist who told me that it's a really, really tough game to enter the European market. And it has been difficult in the past for US car makers and then Japanese and then South Korean. And they managed to enter the European market in the end. But it's not that easy. So really, really cheap prices are an asset for Chinese. It's like, it cannot be denied, but it will only work maybe if Chinese car makers learn how to talk to European consumers. And so the same economist told me that the real threat would be like, for example, BYD, which is thinking about developing R&D and designing centers in Europe. And he said, the same analyst, that in the past, it's what worked for non-European car makers, building factories on site, designing cars, especially for Europeans, because it's really, really different to sell Asian cars and European cars. And he said people don't have the same roads, the same lives. So it's not only about cheap cars. And at the same time, I think some car makers should start panicking just a little. For example, historically, French brands and some Italian brands as well were designing cheap popular cars instead of focusing on, for example, SUVs, as we've seen in the past years. So all these historically affordable European brands have been trying to do German cars and fail because it's difficult. And now the market has a lot of space for cheap cars. And that's where the risk is, I believe, because Chinese cars are so cheap and they are technically more advanced in EVs. So I think some car makers could start designing new cars, future forward models that are made for like the future of European cars and car markets. And for example, this is what Renault is slowly trying to do. They are launching an EV this summer, which is a reboot of a famous affordable car from decades ago. And Renault CEO is really insisting on nostalgia and the proximity people have in France with Renault cars, which is, I think, a really smart strategy. It's not tangible, but that really is an asset for brands. And I think like Italian Fiat could do the same. But if they can't do it, or if the cars they design are too expensive, it really is going to leave a lot of space for Chinese cars in the years to come when Europeans won't be able to buy non-EV cars anymore.
Right, yeah, definitely seems like we're going to see a race to the cheapest EV in Europe in the years to come. But as you say, it's not just price that matters. Rhiannon, what do you think? How worried should the domestic makers be at this point?
I think I'm pretty much on the same page as Maëlys on this. Maybe it's the necessary competition for European car makers to really look at that affordable mass market segment in EVs. At the moment, Chinese brand EVs made up 7.9% of sales in the EU last year, according to Transport and Environment, which is a Europe-based non-governmental policy group. But that is a big growth from 2019 when they only had 0.4%, and they are projected to reach 20% of the EU BEV market by 2027.
Also, I'm just thinking about it now, but what is really, really unique in this case is the transition to EV, which was not the case when US or Japanese or South Korean cars arrived and took some shares of the market, but not everything. But now there really is this tech race, which is different from what we've seen in the past for the automotive industry. So this tech challenge is also really important to take into account.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point because, you know, some analysts would draw comparisons to, you know, when Japanese car makers came into Europe and Korean car makers came into Europe, you really have to establish a base in Europe in order to really grow sales and take market share. Probably at the time that was felt as a threat, but, you know, there's still everyone's around. And in terms of the technology as well, it is unique in terms of the value chains. And that's what analysts are saying, like, you know, you kind of need the Chinese players in that kind of technology and in the value chains to really reach that 2035 deadline. So that's definitely a kind of an added element in that these are not cars, they're EVs.
Right. Well, thank you so much both for giving us that rundown. It definitely sounds like we're going to see this sort of competition and also collaboration heating up in the decade that is left before this 2035 combustion engine ban. And we'll be following both of your reporting on the topic as well until then. Well, thank you so much for today. And I hope that you'll both come back on again soon.
Thank you, Alice. Bye.
Thank you.
That's all for this episode. You can read more of Rhiannon and Mylisa's reporting, along with a host of other stories about Asia's tech industry, on Nikkei Asia's website, asia.nikkei.com. And if you like what you hear, why not subscribe to our weekly Tech Asia newsletter, which will be delivered to your inbox every Thursday. There's a link to sign up in the show notes. And whilst we've still got you, if you're enjoying Tech Latest and would like to support us, please do give us a follow on whichever podcast platform you use. We also really appreciate any reviews you can leave, as these help new listeners to find our episodes. Thank you for listening, and check back in next time for more updates on the tech trends that matter.